Good morning. How's everybody doing? Blessed. Amen. Glad to be here with you guys. A little unexpected. Pastor Mark called me 4 o'clock this morning, and I hear a buzzing, and I'm thinking it's too early for my alarm clock, and pick up my phone, and it says Poppy on it. It's what I call my grandfather. And I'm like, hello, kind of in that in-between stage of awake and asleep. And he goes, John, I'm sick. You know, and I'm just like, uh-oh. You know, and you know the words are coming after that. Can you teach for me? Yes, Poppy, I'll teach for you. And still in that in-between stage of sleeping awake, I'm like, I love you. And then I go to put the phone down, and I'm like, oh, we're probably not done with this conversation. I'm like, hello? He goes, okay. He's like, you're still there? I'm like, all right, yeah. He's like, let me pray for you. I'm like, thank you. And so hang up with him, and my wife is like, what's up? And I'm like, I'm teaching this morning. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, man. And so she's like, what are you teaching on? It's 4 a.m. I don't know, Jesus. And so she was just like, why don't you teach on Joshua chapter 1, you know, and that's what we've been going through, Joshua in young adults. And so I'm like, all right, you know. So I'm excited. Because Joshua, first we're going to look at a lukewarm church, and then we're going to look at, you know, a spirit-filled life. And the difference in how God can, you know, wants to work in one but can't, and can use another in such a powerful and beautiful way. And, you know, for every, commandment, you know, that or precept that's in the New Testament, you know, there's a story in the Old Testament that we can glean from, that we can learn from, and that we can observe and have these examples. And, you know, we see such a great analogy here with someone coming to know Christ. You know, the children of Israel, you know, they're in bondage, they're in slavery for, you know, 400 years, trapped in their suffering and sin. And they cry out to the Lord, and the Lord hears them, and he sends Moses, and he pulls them out of slavery. And what do they have to do? They go through the Red Sea. They're baptized. They're a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. So they're coming into this new life, and, you know, they cross over the Red Sea, the Lord does a miracle, and then they get into the desert, and they have a lapse of faith. They see these giants in Canaan, and they're like, no way, we can't do that. We're like grasshoppers compared to them. There's no way that we can conquer them. And so they have a lapse of faith. And what was the problem? They wanted the easy way. They didn't want a hard battle. They wanted to go through the motion. Now, who loves comfort, right? We all love comfort. We all love comfort food. We're going to eat a lot of that this afternoon. And watching the Super Bowl. And I love, you know, big comfy blankets. Those Costco ones are the best, you know, the king size. And, you know, we love comfort. And the children of Israel fell into that. And what was their punishment or the cause of their lapse of faith? They had to wander in the desert for 40 years, dry and miserable. And we see that they were lukewarm. They had too much of the Lord in them to enjoy any things of the world, but too much of the world to enjoy anything of the Lord. they found themselves in that miserable in-between spot. Who's been there? Right? Yeah, you just find yourself just miserable. And so here in Revelation, if you guys would like to turn there, Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And John, through the Holy Spirit, is writing, and he's talking about this church who's lukewarm, who's neither hot nor cold. They're just on the fence, and they're just trying to go the easy way about it. So before I read this, I want to pray. So Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, that we get this opportunity to get in your word. I pray that you would just speak, Lord, through me. Lord, I pray that no one would leave this building the same. I pray that each person would leave a little bit more convicted by their sin, a little bit more in love with you, and a little bit more passionate about your work. Lord, I pray that you would just work and move in this building. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So he says, and to the church of the angel, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things says the Amen. And Jesus calls himself three different things here. He says, I am the Amen, let it be so. The faithful and true witness, Amen. We have a God that is true. He also is the beginning of the creation of God. Amen. Those are some three great names for Jesus. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Two words really describe this: spiritually bankrupt. You have nothing in you. You are longing for the things of the Lord, but you're just not going to the right places to find it. You have that hunger and that thirst, and you keep binging on Netflix. You keep scrolling through Instagram, keep scrolling through Facebook or Twitter, and you're looking in all the wrong places. How often do we do that? I do that. You know, having a bad day, you know, just gonna see, you know, what's happening with The Office, you know, just the TV show on Netflix. You know, it's so easy to go to the things that are maybe comfy, you know. But what is the true answer? In verse 18, Jesus answers that. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Now, the gold, what is the gold? Well, Peter talks about how we are like gold, and Jesus is going to be refining us in the fire, making us new and better, right? You have to melt down the gold and scrape off the dross. Thank you. Everybody's helping me. There we go. The body. Cleaning, making better, and gotta do that over and over again. The white garments of purity, making us white as snow again. Clothing our shame, our nakedness. And the eye salve, right? The Holy Spirit coming in, awakening our eyes so we can see the spiritual side of things, coming and seeing the work of God in our lives. And that is the true answer, coming to God and receiving those things. And he says in verse 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Who the Lord loves, he chastens. He loves you. Where can you run from the Lord? If you run from his hand of grace, you just run to his hand of correction. He's always there with you. He'll never leave you. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Do a 180. Get away from your sin. Turn away from your sin. Behold, the Lord says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So we see this church that is completely lukewarm, is just in the middle. They're spiritually bankrupt. And they're not doing anything. Why? Because they've gotten to a comfortable spot. They've gotten to a place where they're like, I have no need. And so I don't know if you find your place, you find yourself in that place. But it's a dangerous place. Because it's easy for us as Christians to slip into it. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you know that it's not a quick, like a boom! Oh man, I am, you know, addicted to heroin. You know, it's a slow, it's choice after choice. Maybe it's hanging out with the wrong people. And then you start talking to them, oh, drugs, you know, side effects, are they that bad? do the side effects outweigh my problems, my anxiety, my depression? And we make excuses slowly but surely. In Hebrews, it talks about that slow fade, drifting away from the Lord. And now, looking at this lukewarmness, where the Israelites have been, wandering in the desert dry, spiritually bankrupt, have made many poor decisions, we see that now there is a change in leadership. So if you would like to turn to Joshua now, we're going all over the place. Joshua 1, verse 1. Now it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Now, we may see great leaders, you know, great men of God pass away, but the Lord will never pass away. We just see that the baton is passed to one, from one man to another, you know, and it's so great to see, you know, Billy Graham, I mean, all the way, I mean, Spurgeon, Ravenhill, all these amazing, and then, you know, Billy Graham, and then, you know, Greg Laurie, and it's, you know, who's the next, you know, of these, you know, Spirit-filled evangelists. And so we see after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Now, there's only three men in the Bible that are called servant of the Lord. It's Abraham, David, King David, and Moses, these three men. But you know what's so amazing is we have something better. It says in John 15, 15, this is the Lord speaking to us. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Guys, when was the last time someone came up to you and was like, so what's all this Christianity thing about? What are you about? And they're like, oh, I'm a friend of Jesus. You know, he's just my friend. Jesus is my friend. And it's just like, we don't hear that. But we get that. Jesus is our friend. He is always there. And I love that. We get to call him Savior, we get to call him Father, and we get to call him Friend. And that is a precious thing, that we have that opportunity. Now, it came here in the second part, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. So, you know, there's a poor joke, you know, Bible jokes. You know, which man in the Bible didn't have any parents? Joshua, the son of Nun. Ha ha, so sad. Now, there's something beautiful about this. Joshua is a powerful man. Joshua, we see him in many battles throughout, you know, Judges and all these, you know, throughout, you know, Exodus and Deuteronomy. We see Joshua doing all these great things. And, you know, but he was Moses' assistant. He was faithful to Moses. You know, and he gleaned and he learned from Moses all these years, and he was faithful. You know, it's important for us to have a spiritual mentor. It's important for us to be following somebody that's following Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, it's the same thing. We're following somebody, we want to be following somebody that's following Jesus, but we got to also be aware that there's somebody that might be following you. So where are you leading them? So it's important for us to be following, going after Jesus also. Always have your eye on Jesus. Now, for me, I've gotten the opportunity to be mentored by my father and my grandfather and my uncles. And many, many fun stories. You know, growing up as a pastor's kid, you do a lot of things. You know, you're dragged to a lot of, you know, prayer meetings and men's Bible studies and you know, late night Sunday evening services where you're sleeping on the pew. And as I got older, I want to learn, you know. And when I was going to the Bible college in Marietta, I asked my grandfather if I could come and spend the weekends with him and my grandmother and just learn, just go where they go, you know, on Saturdays. And they usually have like a funeral or a wedding on Saturday. So on this one Saturday, you know, my grandparents are like, all right, well, we got a funeral, you know, at, you know, it's like 1 o'clock. And so my grandfather's like, I think we got enough time to go boogie boarding. So we woke up early, you know, Pastor Mark, pretty much any both, we love water. So we go down the beach, we're at the beach, and then we get back, get ready. But we're running late. And so we're like going really quick to this funeral, and we get there, and Pastor Mark's like, we go through this door. It's the best way to go. And so I'm leading, and I open the door, and it's on the stage of this funeral parlor, and it's an open casket. So I'm staring right at the dead person, and I've never been to an open casket. And so it's like, oh, like one of those backstep moments where you're just like, oh gosh. And my grandmother's right behind me, and it's like, there's nowhere to go. And she's pushing me, and I'm like, I don't want to go this way. And I finally get in, and I go, and I sit down, and my grandmother's like snickering. She's like, is this your first open casket? Like, yes. Like, it's not common that you go, and you're, you know. And so I've gotten a lot of opportunities to be with my grandfather. You know, I've gotten to go to the hospital with my grandfather and just watch how he ministers to the sick and how he prays over them and how he will just read scripture to them and encourage them. And so often they're, you know, not conscious, but he's just like, you pray over them and you just, you know, witness. And honestly, our love and respect to these people are a witness to the nurses. And so it was just a great opportunity for me to learn from my grandfather and his love for these people. And it's been awesome. But then in verse 2, I'm going to go through 2 through 5. Moses, my servant, is dead. But therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all his people, to the land which I am giving to them. The children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness to this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the lands of the Hittites, and to the great sea, towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise that God has given to Joshua, but this is a promise that he has given to you. This promise that he has given to you, and you are on a mission. As a child of God, you are on a mission. Now, it's no coincidence that you are here, learning. It is no coincidence that where you go for lunch or where you go grocery shopping, God has placed you on a mission to wherever your foot, the sole of your foot treads, he's given you as a territory. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isaiah, this is a mission that the Lord has placed us on, and I love it. Isaiah 42:6, he says, I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. Guys, our mission as Christians is to be a light. They will know that you are Christians by your love, by your actions, by the way you conduct your life. Going through high school and, you know, after, you know, high school and junior high, I was not a vocal Christian. I was not, you know, out there, you know, like my grandfather and my dad, very passionate preachers. And I was thinking, man, I suck. I'm a terrible Christian, you know, because those are my examples. And time after time, I would have, you know, different guys on the football team come up to me and it's like, there's something different about you. There's something clean, you know? I'd be like, wholesome? Yeah, whatever that word is, you know, Christianese. You know, there's something different. You don't cuss, you don't drink, you're not sleeping around. There's something, you know, different about you. And I like it. I want to be around you. And I was amazed. I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. You know, and I was just loving people. And just because I was doing what God told me to do. I wasn't even doing it in my own strength. So I want to encourage you guys. Be a light. Shine for Jesus wherever you go. And if the Lord puts it on your heart, hey, open your mouth. Then open your mouth. But most of the time, guys, just be an example. In word and deed. Live your life to glorify God with your actions. Now, we see that in life, guys, it's often easy to get legalistic. You almost feel this pressure. I got to do this and I got to do that, you know. I got to act this way. And it's not that way at all. What does Paul say? He says in 7, I'm a sinner. I just can't do this on my own. And then in 8, he goes, but we're not under condemnation, but we're under grace. We're under the grace of God. So guys, it's not about your works. Moses represented the law. And the law could not get them into the promised land. But Joshua, you know, in Hebrew means Yeshua. And in the Greek is Jesus. So guys, only Jesus, not a coincidence, could bring them into the promised land. Guys, it's not law. It's not works, but it's grace. Grace through faith. And that's how you inherit eternal life. So rely on that. Know that, hey, it's not by my merit. It's not by my greatness that God is pleased with me. No. God is pleased with you because you have the blood of Jesus on you. So when he looks at you, he sees his son. And what do you say about his son? this is my son. When he was baptizing him, he came up. God said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. God is well pleased with you. Know that. You don't have to feel condemned. You don't have to feel beat up, because the devil loves to do that to you. He loves to lie. He loves to whisper in your ear, you're a nothing. Just keep your mouth shut. Who cares what you do? Guys, if you keep on living lukewarm, that's cheap grace. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not up here because I'm perfect. I'm up here because I have a passion to tell people about Jesus. I have a passion to see people get saved. That's why I'm up here. Jesus, he said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and this is Jesus' heart right here. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. The age. Amen. Jesus is with you. Always. So we can stand firm in our mission. You are on a mission for Jesus. Don't think that this is boring. Don't think that this Christianity thing, you know, this is just a waste of time. No. Jesus has a plan. He has a good plan for you, to give you a future and a hope in Him. And it's our job to stay connected with Him. It's our job to be looking to Him. In verse 6, it says, and this is an encouragement right here, guys. Hold fast to this. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Now, back in Genesis 15, the Lord promised Abraham that they would be getting the promised land. It's been almost 500 years since then. Isn't that crazy? And also, that makes me like discouraged. I mean, I'm like, oh man, 500 years for a promise to come. But you know what? It happened. If God says He's going to do something, it's going to happen. We can stand firm in that and be encouraged by that. But sometimes it's not when we want it to happen, right? Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong, of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That is an encouragement. That is something we get to be excited about. That God is there, that we can be strong and very courageous. Turn to your neighbor and say, be strong. Say, be very courageous. Amen. We need to be strong. We need to be courageous. Because sometimes the mission that the Lord is bringing you into is scary. There is, like, you're like, holy cow. You know, it's 4 a.m. and I got to teach this today, you know? I'm saying, be strong, be very courageous. I got to hold fast to the Lord's promises. that I know that the Lord is up here with me, because I know that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. And I know that me being up here is not a waste, because I'm reading the Word of God, and the Word of God will never return void. And so don't grow weary of doing good. Know that your mission is for a purpose. Because sometimes, you know, it's like, you know what, I want to do a Bible study. Let's do a Bible study. We got to get in the Word of God. Hey, everyone, come to my house for a Bible study. No one shows up. All right. What now? You know, but don't grow weary. The Lord had a purpose. Maybe he wanted you to study. And you studied really hard getting ready for that. Well, praise the Lord. Now you know, that scripture way better than you used to. The Lord has a purpose and a plan for your mission. Hold fast to that. Now, with our mission in our that the Lord has given us, sometimes we get the Gideon complex. But I'm just the least of the least of the least, and I know nothing. Please don't do this to me. Right? Moses, I have a stutter. I can't send my brother. Right? We get so focused on ourselves and our weaknesses and our shortcomings that we're like, Lord, you can't use me. I am weak. Ha. But when we are weak, he is strong. He wants you to get to that place where you are broken. Because a broken vessel, when poured into it, will pour out and water everything around it. Let yourselves be broken. Let yourselves come to the end of yourself. And this is an encouraging word. God has promised his presence, and God's presence is our power. Is our power. God has promised us his presence, and God's presence is our power. David said, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Guys, when the Lord is near, when you say, you know what, I'm not going to go to Netflix, I'm not going to go to Instagram, I'm going to go to the Word of God, I'm going to draw near to God, that's when the fear goes away, because perfect love casts out all fear. God is love. So in your mission, with this thing that the Lord has called you out to do, don't be discouraged. Don't go, I'm too young, I'm too old. No. Joshua is probably in his 80s at this time, leading this people. He's raised up, you know. So don't think that you're too old. Think about Abraham and Sarah. Hundreds and 90, you know, just used by God. A little boy. What? The loaves and fishes. The Lord used a little boy. Paul says to Timothy, don't be ashamed of your youth, but be an example in word and deed in your conduct. That is what we need to be doing. That's what we need. And then I love that in verse 8, he says, this book, this law shall not depart from your mouth. Now, when I was born, my parents gave me a psalm. When I was born, they gave me Psalms 1. And it's funny, I don't know why, but I forgot that they did that. Pastor Mark, my grandfather, when I was little, would put me on his shoulders, and he would sing that song. You know, I will delight in the law of the Lord, I will meditate. Yeah, sorry. And with Pastor Mark's awesome voice, and we'd walk down the hallway of this apartment building, and I would touch the lights on his big shoulders. And I don't know, I forgot about it. And then was at school one day and just reading, and I came across Psalms 1, and I came home and I'm like, Mom, Dad, I love Psalms 1. It was so good. It just really spoke to me. And my mom's like, John, that's what we gave you as a baby. And I was like, whoa. But it says this, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither. And whatever he does shall prosper. Why? Because he's meditated in the Word of God. He's saturated himself in the Word of God. Guys, if you are dealing with depression, if you are feeling dirty, if you are feeling anxious, go to the Word of God. Be washed in the Word of God. Let the love of God flow over you. Let the love of God just bring peace upon you. And the Word of God is powerful, is able to, you know, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And often we need the Word of God, but we don't go it to enough. And if we do, it's almost like a chore. Don't view it as a chore, but view it as a love letter. Gracie would send me letters. I was way bad about sending. Every like five she sent me, I'd send one back when we were long distance. But I would get it, and I'd be so excited. I was like, oh my gosh. And I'd be like reading, just like super excited. She loves me. It's so funny. Young love. And, you know, but it's just such with intent. And that is how we need to be reading the Word of God. The Lord loves us. It is a love letter to us. Now, something that I just want to say about Joshua that I forgot to say is learning about Joshua, you know, he was a strong man, powerful man, and he was under Moses, and Moses made a lot of mistakes. But you never see Joshua going, oh, you idiot, you should have listened to me. We should have gone in the promised land. Now we have to suffer through this wilderness. You know, he never did that. Geez, you idiot, you shouldn't have struck the rock. You know, it's just we see that Joshua is filled with such grace and such love. And, you know, that's something that we all need to grow in, you know, is love and grace and being submissive and learning and gleaning. And the Lord in due time brought Joshua to power. And because the way he respected Moses, the people now respect him. Because everybody that came against Moses died. But now we see that he loved and he respected Moses, and he's brought to a place of honor. But just once again, be strong, good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hold on to that promise. Because Christians love to say, God will not give you anything you can't handle. That is a bunch of baloney. It says, Paul says, he will not tempt you with anything that you can't handle. Guys, we go through things in life that are way too hard for us. That is why there's depression medicine that the world has created, right? Paul talks about, I have suffered shipwreck, whippings, stonings, beatings. He wrote most of the old, you know, the New Testament in prison. And he's like, when I am weak, he is strong. And God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. We can't handle a lot of the things that life throws us, but God can. I love what my grandfather says. Our God's got some broad shoulders. Throw that weight, that yoke of bondage onto him. Look to him. Because we're going to go through some horrible trials in life. The Bible promises us that. But he says, count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work in you, making you new and perfect and lacking nothing. Go to the Lord in prayer. Go to the Lord in seeking him. Because that is the only way that we can do it. And if you grow weary, and you get anxious, and you get stressed, and you start crying, be encouraged. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus, He got stressed. He was so stressed that He sweated blood. He cried. Jesus wept. You know, I was thinking about that the other day, and that encouraged me. I was stressed. You know, I'm just like, oh, life, it's coming at me so fast. And I'm like, you know what? And because, you know, be anxious for nothing in all things. By prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. I'm thinking, I can't be anxious. But then I was thinking, wait a minute. Jesus was anxious. You know, He was sweating drops of blood. You know, and that just freed me for some reason. So maybe that frees you. Go to the Lord in prayer. And now we see, you know, the order, you know, to cross the Jordan. We see in verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go into possess the land which the Lord your God is giving to you to possess. All right. So these guys have been living off of frosted flakes for 40 years, 39 years. And that's all they've gotten. Sometimes some, you know, quail. That provisions, what? You know, a plow, like, what? A sword? You know, it's just they have to get these provisions. And they have 3 days to get ready. You know, and sometimes the Lord does that in our own lives. Hey, it's time to wake up. It's time to man up. It's time to take arms. You're done being a little baby living off of milk and cereal. It's time to get some meat in you. It's time to get some grapes the size of basketballs. Milk and honey flowing. That's what they had promised in the Promised Land. They had this great opportunity. But what did they have to do? They're going to have to fight for it. And in our Christian walk, if you want to grow, you have to fight. Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against darkness. Guys, we're in a battle. You can either be lukewarm, chill, and just let the enemy take over, or you can fight. You can grow. And all things that are worth fighting for, I mean good, are worth fighting for. Our faith, it has to be fought for sometimes. Our marriages have to be fought for. Our friendships have to be fought for. Your relationship with God has to be fought for. Because sometimes you're just done. You're just frustrated. But take heart. This is not our home. The end is near. Heaven, the hope of glory. And we'll get to go to heaven where there's no pain, no suffering. Amen. Amen. And now he says to the Reubenites and to the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh, he said, this is Joshua speaking in verse 13, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and is giving you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as He gave you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is given them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Now, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half-tribe Manasseh came to Moses and said, hey, we're happy here. Can we stay here? Can this be our possession? This be our land? And Moses said, yes. You can stay here. This can be your land. But when it's time to take the Promised Land, you're going to have to help your brothers. Now, I want to encourage you guys. for those of you that are in a really good season right now, you're just like, you know what? The Lord is providing. You know, my family's healthy. We're good. I want to encourage you guys, wrap your arms around your brothers and sisters that are not, that have to go to battle. Go to battle with them in prayer. Hey, send them texts. Encourage them. Be like, I am praying for you. I am there with you. As a church, we need to come together, because a church that is separate, that is pulled apart, will fail. But united for one cause, for Jesus, fighting together, will stand. And this is such a great response for them. In verse 16, so they answered Joshua, saying, all that you command us, we will do. And whatever you, wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against you, against your command, and does not heed your words, in all that you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. What a response from these people of just humility. Yes, we will go with you. We will serve you. We will fight alongside you. And we just see that when God is in control, when God is led in it, it's a smooth transition from leader to leader. That there is, it's just, God's way is like sledding. Our way is like hiking uphill in snow. It's difficult. But these last seven words that these men say to Joshua, only be strong and of good courage. Once again, encourage each other. These men are focusing on encouragement. Encourage one another. Focus on the positive. So often we come to the Lord with like a honey-do list of everything that's wrong. This is wrong and this is wrong. You know, and we come to the leadership and we come to one another with all that is wrong in our lives and we want fixed. We need to focus on the positive. We need to focus on the things that the Lord has already accomplished in our lives. We need to focus on the praise reports. Thank you, Lord, for healing this person. Thank you, Lord, for doing this. Thank you, Lord, that you have accomplished this. Thank you that you've died on the cross. Thank you that you have rose again, that we have hope. You know, and also, we need to encourage, you know, Pastor Mark and Sherry and the leadership. We need to come up and lift their arms up, just like Aaron and her did. Because ministry is tough. You know, Pastor Mark, you know, he's done so much. He's been in ministry for 40-something years. And that's a heavy weight, you know, to feel. And Pastor Bill, for all these years of serving, we need to lift their arms up. We need to surround them in love and encouragement. Pastor Louis, there's so many people that have just given their lives to the Lord in service. Encourage, edify, and lift up. Don't focus on the negative in your life. It's so easy to do, but it'll just leave you grumpy, dissatisfied, and angry. But focus on what the Lord has accomplished. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord. We just praise you for your goodness, for your grace in our lives. Lord, I just pray that you would just do an amazing work in each person's life here today. I just pray that they would look to you for all their needs, Lord, that they wouldn't go to the left or the right, Lord. But I pray that we would all just focus on you, the only one that can truly satisfy every need. And Lord, I pray that we would just grow spiritually, that we would fight the battle. So often we just say, oh, it's easy. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to actually fight the battle. But Lord, I pray that we would not treat grace cheaply, but we would honor you, Lord, with our actions, with our words. Lord, I pray that you would just be glorified in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.